Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. The Reverend Craig Mueller is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from John, the second chapter. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, who doesn't like a good wedding? I'm sure that every one of you has a wedding story to tell, either on your own wedding day or a wedding you attended, that there was some remarkable thing, good or bad, or maybe even embarrassing, that happened to make it very memorable. In my family, we are at the stage of life where it seems that all my nieces and nephews are getting married almost every summer. Thus, the weddings serve as a great time to see family and friends. Weddings can provide us with great memories, or bad, or embarrassing. It is a time of celebration. Marriage was created by God as the lifelong union of one man and one woman for their mutual help and joy and for the procreation and nurturing of children. A wedding day is the day the couple publicly promises to live faithfully together until death. But we as Christians can't help but connect the idea of wedding and what the Word of God teaches us about weddings and our relationship with our Lord Jesus, our bridegroom, and the church, the bride. The wedding and marriage language just oozes throughout Scripture as it is a blessing to us in the now, as in the not yet, where we will soon be in the marriage feast for all eternity with our Lord. How the bridegroom Jesus would lay down his life for his bride. Or as we read in Isaiah, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robes of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels." Thus, my friends, it should be no surprise to us that Jesus and his disciples gladly attend a wedding of a friend. This is a moment to celebrate with the couple as well as with other family members and friends, to have a feast music, joy, celebration as another couple is joined together in holy matrimony. And our text says, on the third day, there was a marriage at Cana in Galilee. And that there were quite a number of people there, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, and yes, therefore, the mother of God. Yes, the mother of Jesus was there, as well as Jesus himself. How marvelous and wonderful to have Jesus at a wedding, and how blessed to be in the very presence of the Lord God himself, and this Jesus who instituted marriage, to now be with his family and friends, must have been an awesome experience. But then, right in the middle of the festivities, it happened. The wine failed. There was no more wine, and there would be no longer any more for anyone. The failure of the wine promised a bitter disappointment at the wedding feast, and yes, embarrassment, shame, and regret for the families. What to do? What should be done? As with any crisis of life, the answer is the same. Mary knows, and by her example, demonstrates what others ought to be done. She does not direct those with problems to seek the solution from her. She doesn't think of some ingenious way of helping the family out. Rather, this sinner, Mary, immediately goes and petitions her confessed Savior, and yes, her son, that this is the mother of Jesus who says, they have no wine. Jesus is doing that, always listening to petitions and the people of God, both congregationally and individually. People do well to place their problems before and present their petitions and offer their pleas to the Lord God Almighty, to our Lord Jesus. He still continues to this day to hear the prayers of his people. And what do we hear as the answer to our prayers and the solution to our problems? Often not what is expected. Often even there is silence. God is always doing that, always doing what is best and good for his people, which is often the opposite of what we expect or what we desire. We are to trust the Lord even when it appears that he is not listening or that he is rebuking us. The faithful prayer is, "Thy will be done." So the faithful urge of others, the incarnate word and the spoken word of God, just as Mary did when she said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you, or thy will be done." So even though Jesus, her son, yet her Savior, said, "It's not my hour, why do you bother me?" She said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you, or his will be done." And our text continues, now 6 stone jars were standing there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. These are part of the Old Testament law. The water was for the baptism of the unclean prior to their entrance into the wedding hall and their feasting at the banquet table. In other words, people were to wash their hands before eating. Yes, even before COVID. It's the law. And we know all about laws, and we know all those laws that we have broken, maybe just ceremonial, but God's ultimate law of the Ten Commandments. But we have Jesus, who here at this wedding was doing everything he continues to do throughout his life, fulfilling the law, perfectly obeying the Ten Commandments in thought, word, and deed, because we can't. What we could not do and would not do, Jesus has done for us. His act of obedience as a humble servant was to fulfill the law. He did this for you and for me. Thus Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water to the brim." Not only must the law be obeyed perfectly in our stead, but we know all too well that the violations of God's holy law must be punished fully and completely. Dr. Weinrich, in his commentary, writes, "We are told that the water jars were there for the purification of the Jews. The change of water into wine must indicate that the purification of the Jews is being replaced by another, different, yet greater purification. The question of purification leads directly to the announcement that the time has come for the complete transition from John the Baptist to Jesus. That transition is from water baptism to the Spirit baptism that Jesus will give as the Lamb of God. That transition, of which the changing of water into wine is the sign. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, whom John just previously had pointed out, is the one who is being manifested here. This Jesus has begun his work of redeeming the world from sin, death, and the power of the devil. This miracle of Cana reminds us of our Christian baptism, which is a baptism into its water, made effective through the death blood of Christ, cleanses us from sin, and bestows eternal life through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The purification from sin now comes to the bride, his church, you and me, through Jesus, the bridegroom, in the one-time washing with the water and the Spirit, not through the repeated washings of the Jewish purification rites, not by good works. Thus, according to the Word of God, the jars are full all the way to the brim. Not a drop more can be added. So also, not a drop more may be added to the Lord's word or to Christ's work. Then Jesus spoke to the disciples, "Now draw some out and take it to the steward of the feast." My friends, does this bring to mind something special? How about the blessed sacraments instituted by Jesus, where the Son of God again joins his word of promise with water in holy baptism, and in with and under the bread and wine he gives his body and blood, by which he offers and bestows the forgiveness of sins that he has earned for us by his suffering and death and resurrection. In the waters of holy baptism, the Holy Spirit works forgiveness of sins, rescues us from death and the devil, and gives us eternal life. By the power of Christ's almighty word, this purification continues through the Lord's Supper, where he gives us his very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Just by his word, the Lord turns this water into wine. Jesus, the Word incarnate, has come. Jesus, who we know as our Savior, manifests his glory by giving the wedding couple a gift of the best wine ever served. He saved them from embarrassment and humility. He met their needs. But God also did more than that through Jesus. He saved them from the death and the devil. So also Jesus hears our cry and need for salvation. Jesus revealed, manifested his great mercy to us by his life and at the hour of his death, assuring us that no need escapes his care. My dear friends, as our text concludes with these words, "This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him." My friends, that is the Jesus that you and I believe in, cling to, because we know in him, in his glory, in his life and death and resurrection, we have eternal life and the forgiveness of sins. May that be your joy and peace. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Deaconess Caitlin and John Carlos Ramirez, who serve the Lord in the Dominican Republic. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.